This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Carl Tanner once preferred to sing in the company of his showerhead or the car radio. Certainly not in front of a crowd. But once he shared his booming voice with the world, he could not keep that voice from them for long. He's now a successful operatic tenor, having performed in some of the world's greatest concert halls. And before that, he was a trucker and a bounty hunter. But more on that later. Carl's next performance is at the North Carolina Opera, starring in the production of Pagliacci. It's January 24th and 26th. We've got the information at our website. But first, Carl Tanner, welcome to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You have an enormously enormous reputation. You're a famous guy. And yet you were very shy about this and didn't know. Other people had to tell you about your talent. Is that right?
Yes. I didn't want to be a singer. I knew that I could sing when I was a child. But every corner I turned, there was a sign that I was supposed to do this. But for many reasons, I didn't want to be a singer. I wanted to do anything but. And I grew up in a family, a non-musical family, although my father loved country music and my mother pretended to love classical. She thought if you loved classical, we'd be classy people.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? Did you have a particular preference for? Did you like music?
I did. I loved country because my dad loved country, and I loved Southern rock and old rock, the Beatles, etc.
Yeah. So talk about that moment. You said at a number of points along the way, you were constantly pushed to this career that you had pushed out of your own mind. Talk about singing in the shower.
Well, I remember the first time I had heard classical music. My mother had brought home, my mother had brought home those old console record players that looked like a cabinet. And I was 12, 10, 12, 14 years old somewhere, and I was at a garage sale, and I bought Pavarotti's Greatest Hits. And it was his greatest hits where he was on the front cover as a clown, as Pagliacci. And I brought it home, and my mom put it in the record player, and the first cut on that album is Una Furtiva Lagrima. And we listened to it, and I heard that voice, and I thought, oh, my God. You know, I thought to myself, if I ever sang in my life in the future, if I had one 1%, 0.5% of that voice, I'd be a success. I thought that to myself. And later on, I told that story to him in a funny setting in his dressing room and I'll tell you that story sometime, but we didn't get a great reply from him. We didn't think we got a great reply. And Cheryl Milnes was there and Tony Randall and a couple people, and they were like shocked at what he said. I told him that story and he said, "Imposible." And Cheryl said, Mr. Mills said, "Luciano," and he said, "Aspetta." He said, "I'm not saying impossible to him. I'm saying impossible that Pavarotti's greatest hits be on sale at garage sale." But I knew that. Gosh, you know, I knew I could sing. I knew that I could sing when I was a child. I had this big booming voice besides my speaking voice. I speak one way and I sing completely different, But every time I turned around, someone said, "Oh, you need to join the choir, or you need to do this." And I finally joined a high school choir at 17.
Well, I'd like to hear a sample of that. You're going to do Pagliacci for the North Carolina Opera, is that right? Maybe we could get a sample of that now and then talk more about your discovery in the shower, which I want to hear more about. Will you do that for us?
Sure.
All right.
Recitar mentre preso da delirio, non so più quel che dico e quel che faccio, eppure tu appa, sforzati, pa, sei tu forse il tu sei Pagliaccio. Vesti la giubba e la faccia in farina. La gente paga e ride, vuol le guai. Se Arlecchin ti muovo la colombina, ridi pagliaccio e ognun applaudirà. Tramuta in lati lo spasmo ed il pianto, in una smorfia il singhiozzo e tomar. Arridi, pagliaccio, sul tuo burro in fronte. Che ta bellena il cor.
Carl Tanner, ladies and gentlemen, operatic tenor singing Vesti la Giuba from the opera Pagliacci. He's going to be starring in the North Carolina Opera's production of Pagliacci January 24th and 26th. Wow. 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 But here's the thing. And again, your voice, your speaking voice would never suggest that that's what I'm going to hear when you sing. How much of that is training and how much of that was there the first time you sort of started to build these out? Can you tell?
Gosh, that's hard. I mean, I knew that I had a seed of talent.
Yeah.
And I knew that there. But a lot of it is development over years.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I had a more mature voice, singing voice at 12 or 13. And I knew that. But I had never heard classical music in my life. I had heard maybe Muzak in stores and stuff, but I didn't know what it was. So I ignored it. And then I was singing in the shower one day to Elvis's Don't Be Cruel. And a friend of mine heard me two doors away, and she said, "You're a classical singer. You're not a rock singer."
And it's two doors away. So this is, she hears you, comes over, tells you this. What'd you do? I mean, were you convinced right then and there you needed to change your mind, or did
no
it take
way.
More?
No, yeah. I didn't want to be in the choir. I was a football player. I was a wrestler. And she said, "You know, if you take a music course, you can get out of an academic course." And I said, "Excuse me." And so it was all about doing easy things for me. So when I was a kid, so I said, "Well, maybe there's something to that." So I went and auditioned for the 11th grade choir, or the choir in school.
Right.
And when I walked in, my brother was an accomplished singer. My brother, his name is Tony Powell. Same mom, different dad, so last name different. Mm-hmm. But he was an accomplished madrigal when he was in school, and he had already left school and went on to play football. In university, East Tennessee State. So when I walked in, he didn't know I was Tony Powell's brother, the choir director. And he said, "What are you going to sing?" And I said, "Look, I don't know anything." I said, I could sing Amazing Grace. I've heard that in church." And he said, and he laughed, and he said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Oh, well, Maggie Rigdon told me to come in and sing." And he said, "Oh, well, fine. What key?" And I said, I have no idea. I don't know what. So he pulled out the Methodist hymnal and he started playing Amazing Grace. And he goes, "That's where you come in, kid." And I said, "Oh, well." So I started singing. And as I was singing, he started tearing up. And we got through the first verse and he turned to me and he said, "Child," he said, "do you know that you have a gift here? God has given you a gift." And I said, "Well, I appreciate that." I said, "But you know, and he said, "We need to develop this." He said, "You're going to join the choir, but you're not going to sing in the choir." He said, "I want you to sing quietly. I don't want you to use your big voice like that. I want you to use a voice called marking. And so you would just be really quiet." And I said, "I'm fine with that." So he worked with me all year and he worked with me on a solo. And so at the very end of the year, 2 months before the last day, he said, "You're going to sing that solo in front of the whole school." And I said, "There's no way I'm singing in front of anyone." And he said, I beg to differ. And within 2 months, he had everything ready, and I had everything ready to sing in public except for my nerves. But I thought, you know, I watched other people do stuff, and I thought, you know what, I get nothing from being shy. You get nothing from being shy. And I was pretty much a shy kid, believe it or not. So I walked out in the gymnasium in front of all these kids, and the choir was behind me, and the choir had never heard me sing either. We would practice, and he would not practice my part. He would say, the soloist I get is going to sing right here, guys, and he's going to come in here. So he would sing my part. So that's what happened, and the choir almost forgot to sing when I started singing.
You did go on. What was the reaction afterwards? I can't imagine.
There was a huge explosion of applause,
yeah.
And I realized then that it was accepted. It was something that my classmates would accept. And so my senior year, I was in choir, I was in madrigals, I was in orchestra playing the violin, and then I had my other classes, and I was singing the national anthem before the football games, before I'd go out. So I'd go out in my uniform, sing the national anthem, and then go to the sidelines.
It's easier to sing Pagliacci than the national anthem, isn't it? That song is a mess.
It is. It's crazy. Yeah.
I want you to tell the story about the Lord's Prayer, because you talked about Amazing Grace being the thing that blew the choir master away, and then your mother heard you sing the Lord's Prayer.
I grew up in the Methodist Church. My father was the custodian of our church. So I would hear this woman at our church sing the Lord's Prayer, and it was my mother's favorite hymn. So I made a Christmas album in 2007 called Hear the Angel Voices. And Sony was producing the album, and they said, well, we're not going to put the Lord's Prayer on there. It's too religious, and it's not Christmas. And I said, well, the Gladys Knight and the Pips did it. And they said, yeah, that's Gladys Knight. And I said, well, I'm going to put it on. So they said, no, you're not. And I said, I'm going to make this album because it's a dedication to my mother. So if you don't put it on, it's going on, but it just won't be with Sony. And so I went to a friend of mine who was quite a wealthy person, extremely wealthy person. And she said, I'll buy it. And I said, okay. So she had her people contact Sony and say, we'd like to buy Sony. And they laughed. And she said, trust me, I could buy Sony.
Wow.
And I could tell you who this person is. Everybody knows them. But she threatened to buy Sony, and then she just bought the album for me.
Well,
and we put the Lord's Prayer on.
And here's what it sounded like.
Father, we are in heaven. The Lord.
Carl Tanner. You can see him starring in the North Carolina Opera's production of Pagliacci, January 24th and the 26th. Carl, what a pleasure talking to you. And we didn't get to talk about your life as a truck driver or a bounty hunter, but we're out of time.
Well, that's too bad. But yeah, I was a bounty hunter and truck driver.
Thank you so much for talking with us. You can find out more about Pagliacci and the North Carolina Opera's production on the 24th and the 26th at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things produced by Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hullab-Mormon, Katie Barron, and Josie Taurus. Jenny Lawson's our technical director. Al Widarski also engineered today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, Carl Tanner. La prova.